bless you, Sister Kay. Appreciate that. Well, let's remember this. I would like to call your attention to a reading lesson to be found in the sixth chapter of Revelation this morning. If you have your Bibles and would care to read along, I ask you to turn there to Revelation chapter 6. I'd like to read verses 12 through 17, completing that sixth chapter of Revelation. This is concerning the opening of the sixth seal. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And I also would like to call your attention to a few verses to be found in Ecclesiastes. And I believe that these certainly go along with what was read there in Revelation chapter 6. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I was really... when I was studying and praying about this, I was really torn between these scriptures found in Revelation chapter 6 and Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I just have to read both from both places. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, also verses 12 through 17, it says, "And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, As it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit." And I want you to notice in this, and what I like to speak about today is time and eternity. Time and eternity. And I want to tell you that there's something that one of the things that we can count on today for certain is that every person that has ever dwelt in time, every person that is dwelling in time now, everyone that is yet to be born and have their dwelling in time will also dwell in eternity. We are all people are eternal bound beings. And so I want you to think about time and eternity with me for a little while. And I want to say this as well. There are some things that happen in time that are very important to us. There are things in our daily life that are important to us from day to day as we dwell here in time. But I'm telling you that our standing in eternity is far more important than our standing in time, as far as the things of this world are concerned, the temporal things of life are concerned. Eternal things have a hold a great deal more weight than things that are only temporary. And I want you to notice in the sixth chapter of Revelation, and I believe that these verses were talking about the end of time. Now, some people don't believe that. I believe that they were. I believe it's talking about the end of the world when the heavens depart as a scroll and every mountain and island moved out of their places, the stars falling to the earth like a fig tree casting off her untimely figs, the sun being as black as sackcloth of hair and the moon becoming as blood. And in the 15th verse, I believe that it's in reference to people that are not prepared when he comes, that are not prepared at the end of time when the Lord comes. And it talks about them hiding themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and begging the mountains and the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the Lord, hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Of course, that wouldn't make any difference if every mountain in the world fell upon them. It wouldn't hide them from the wrath of God. And so you can see, the folly even in their prayer there. But I want you to notice in this that he said in among those that would experience this, of wanting to just be hid away from the wrath of the Lamb, that it was effective upon the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, the bond men, the free men. All of these different types of people were affected in this. And when we go back to the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, Solomon here is writing, I believe, about an event in these verses from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, when he makes the statement that there's one event that happens to all. I believe it's obvious that he's talking about death, that's something that we all face. And he said that Solomon tells us that when that comes, that it really doesn't make any difference. It's going to affect everybody in the same way. He said, as far as naturally goes, that is. He said there's no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man as the fool. And so, no matter what a person's, state here is in this life, that one event comes unto all of us. And the Bible tells us that it's actually appointed unto us. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so we're going to face that thing that the Bible calls death. And we all know that that's true. We're aware of it. You've heard me quote this verse many times from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, where it simply says, "The living know that they shall die." How many of you today are aware of that? That death is going to come upon you. That's not, something that surprises us, when it comes down to the time for us to die, we don't suddenly say, oh my goodness, I didn't know this was going to happen. No, we're aware of that as we go through our lives from day to day, that as far as our earthly life is concerned, that we're headed towards the end, that the body is headed towards the grave, that it's headed back to the dust from where it was taken. And so it's going to affect all of us. Now, in the 20th chapter of Revelation, in verses 11 and 12, speaking of the judgment, John said, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead," listen, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And so death will find us all, and the judgment will find us all. And the Apostle Paul, he put this, I don't know how anything could be stated any more plainly. The Apostle Paul, he said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, I mean, that doesn't leave room to even be debated, does it? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And when we appear, he said, we must give an account. Every one of us, in Paul's writing to the Romans, he said, when we face God's judgment, that every man must give an account of his neighbor? No, of himself. So we have to all face death. We have to all face judgment. We have to all give an account unto God for ourselves of those things which we have done in time. Those things, Paul said, that we have to give an account of those things done in the body, whether they're good or whether they're evil. We have to account for all of those things. And so, you know, I'm afraid that too often that there's too much concern about time and too little concern about eternity. I'm afraid that too often there's too much concern about things that are temporary and too little concern about things that last forever. And I want to say, if you're here today and you're lost and you're separated from God, that you need to give greater thought to eternal matters and greater thought to the eternal well-being of your soul than you do the temporal well-being of your flesh, of your body. Now, you know, the world today, through the influence of the world today, what is it that we see all the time in advertisement? You know, it's always geared towards doing things that cater to the flesh and doing things that give you, you know, fleshly pleasure, earthly pleasure for a little while. You know, these are the things that are promoted in the advertisement of different kinds of products and all of these things. You know, you see commercials all the time about, you know, them wanting to prompt somebody to, you know, use our airlines and take this flight and go here and go there and do this and do that and be entertained in the flesh. And that just seems to be what the minds of people are fixed upon, is what can I do in this life? How much fun can I have for the few short years that I'm going to live here in this world? And the things that are forever, the things of eternity, just don't seem to be very much on the minds of people. But listen, the Bible tells me this. The Bible tells me through the writings of James that my life is a vapor, that it's only here for a little while and then it vanishes away, that our days on the earth are numbered And Job, that wise man Job, that patient man Job, many, many years ago, he said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, comes forth like a flower and is cut down. I'm sure that those of you that do any type of gardening at all, that you have seen the frailty that there is in a flower. I mean, a beautiful flower can bloom, and the next thing you know, it's gone and it's not pretty anymore. We, the Bible tells us that as far as our earthly lives, that we're like the grass of the field. Before you know it, we're cut down and we're cast into the oven. I believe that it was Job, perhaps, that said his days were spent swifter than a weaver's shuttle. What about Jacob? When Jacob and his descendants finally got there into Egypt, there was a question. The Pharaoh asked Jacob a question, and his question to him was, how old are you? How old art thou, Jacob? And Jacob said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto those of my fathers. Folks, I'm telling you that our lives here are short. Now, we may look at things sometimes from an earthly viewpoint. We may look at things from earth standards, from the world standards. We may look at somebody, you know, they show all the time on the morning news from week to week. They'll show people that have made it to 100 years old, and they'll show a picture of them, and they'll show their name, and we may say from worldly standards, we may say, well, my goodness, that person lived a long life. But here we have this man, Jacob, years ago, that said that he was 130 years old and said that his days on the earth had been few. And listen, it doesn't matter if you live to be 150, and I could just about tell you today that none of us here are going to live to be 150 years old. But listen, even if you did, your time spent on the earth in the comparison to eternity, we're just here for just a little while. You know, I believe that it seems that every generation of people, they have their own little sayings about things. I remember when I was a boy growing up in Indianapolis that there was a common statement among the preachers that I heard preach when I was growing up. They would get up there and they'd be preaching the gospel to us kids, and I would hear them say time and time again, this world here is just a place to prepare for the world to come. And listen, whatever time that we have, whatever years that we have here in time, however long that our life lasts, and that's going to vary. We're not going to all live on earth the same amount of years. We don't know how many years that we are going to live. There may be some of you here today that are not going to live very many more years. If the Lord delays and tarries his coming, there may be some here today that may live several more years here on the earth. We don't know how long that it's going to be for each one of us. But whatever time that we have on the earth, listen, lost friend, it's all that you have. It's the only opportunity that you have to get right with God and to be ready to face eternity. I'm going to say this, that no matter what a person may accomplish in their life, no matter how much they may be loved by people, no matter how many times that their mother and father may take them in their arms and embrace them and say, I love you so much. Or no matter how many things you may see that you feel are good, for a person that dies lost and without God, they'd have been better off to have never been that person would have been better off to have never been born in the first place. I believe Solomon spoke of that as coming in with vanity and departing in darkness. Coming into the world and spending your time here on the earth and leaving without knowing the Lord is the worst thing imaginable today. I want to say, if you're here today and you're lost and separated from God, I urge you to seek the Lord, and you seek Him, and you seek Him until that you have found Him precious to your soul, until you know that you have been saved by the grace of God. And then the most important thing, the eternal matter, is taken care of. And I'm going to tell you something. You will enjoy your life from that point on. I know I certainly have. From the time that God saves your soul and you know that it's well with you for eternity, the rest of your days on earth, you will enjoy them far more than you did those years that you were lost and separated from God. You know, I used to, I've told you many times, I was saved when I was 18. And there were things that I used to, you know, I used to run around with my friends, and we'd go out and we'd go fishing, and we'd just go do all kinds of stuff. And boy, I thought I was having a good time. And you know, I mean, I guess from a worldly view, I was. But I've had a lot better years after I got saved than what I did before. I've enjoyed my life far greater as a child of God than I did when I was lost. You know, that's one of the lies that the devil will tell you. Don't seek the Lord. Don't become a Christian. If you become a Christian, if you become a child of God, you're not going to be able to have any fun. Let me tell you something. God can change you drastically, and He does change us when He saves us. And God will give you so much joy in your heart that you'll be able to look at those earthly things and you'll say, that's not what I wanted anyway. That's what happened to me. God, I'll tell you, when God saved me, He changed me. He changed me. He made a difference in me. He made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. There were old things that passed away, and all things became new. You know what? Solomon spoke about this event that's going to happen to all of us. And I want you to think about this. I know there are things that we do in life. I know there are things that we pursue. I know there are things, goals that we seek after. But I want you to think about this reality. I've told you this before. We're born into the world. We grow up, if God lets us live, we grow up before too long, people begin to become interested in what it is they want to do in life. They begin to pursue education, taking the right classes and courses and pursuing the field of education that they need to in order to be able to have the occupation and the trade and the job that they want to have in this life. And we grow up and perhaps we get married and we begin to raise families, and we spend our life here. Maybe we buy us a little house somewhere, and we spend our life here on earth doing those normal things. And the years pass by. But listen, folks, we are all coming to one little moment of time when there's really only one thing that's going to matter. And when it comes time to leave this world and enter into eternity, it won't make one bit of difference if you were a king or a servant. It won't make one bit of difference if you were rich or poor. It won't make one bit of difference if you had a big, strong body or if you were weakly and sick and frail in your life. It won't make any difference if you had all the money that you wanted in this world, or if you couldn't, reach in your pocket and find a nickel. It won't matter anymore. The only thing that's going to be of any significance at all is whether or not you're ready for eternity. Whether or not you are ready to stand before the Lord. Because you know what Solomon said? He said all of those things that we do in life, all of those things that pertain to this world, what did he say would happen? He said they'll all soon be forgotten. They'll be forgotten. It won't be very many years after that we die and leave this world. It won't be very many years before there won't be anybody even giving any thought to the things that you did in this life. Unless they're written down somewhere and recorded, people won't even know them. Unless somebody can open a book or something and turn back and read, hey, there was this fella named such and such and he was a governor or whatever, people won't even know what happened. It'll soon pass from the memories of people and it'll be forgotten. And the only thing that matters is, where are you at? Where are you at? When you leave this world, because we're going to, where are you going to be? Where will you be in eternity? What about that rich man that we read about in the 16th chapter of Luke? He was rich in the things of this world. He fared sumptuously every day. He wasn't worried one bit about money. He wasn't worried one bit about sustenance. I mean, he had everything. He was spoiled. He was spoiled. That Lazarus, that poor beggar, he didn't have anything to eat. He would come there from day to day with sores all over his body and begging the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table and the dogs coming around and licking on his sores. He was in an awful shape in this life, but he died. The beggar died. The rich man died. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and those things that he had had in this world, they were not there. They were not his anymore. He had to leave all of his riches and all of those things behind. And there he found himself in hell, just begging for enough mercy, just begging that Lazarus might be allowed to dip the tip of his finger in water and place it on his tongue and cool his tongue, because he said, I am tormented in these flames. Listen, he was not ready for eternity. He wasn't ready. And you know what? When it came time to die, his riches couldn't do a thing for him. His riches couldn't buy him an extended stay on the earth, and they could not buy him eternal life. The price has already been paid. Jesus paid it with his blood. And there's salvation to be had in the Lord Jesus and nowhere else. Time and eternity. Time. Short, swift, temporary, eternity, forever, forever, forever. Never ending. Never ending. Sometimes we don't see the reality of things. Sometimes we look at somebody, you know, that's poor and destitute, and we say, oh, that poor person. Oh, what a miserable life that person's having. If you would have been acquainted with Lazarus and that rich man, what do you think your assessment may have been? Maybe you would have looked at Lazarus and said, oh, that poor fella, my goodness, look at that. He's got sores all over him. He's, you know, the man needs medical attention, something horrible, and he doesn't have any money. You know, we're always worried about something like that, aren't we? We're always worried about, oh, my goodness, this person, you know, they don't have any money, and they're going to have this done or that done, and they need help. And well, we need to help people whenever we can, but I'm telling you, that's not the most important things in life. We may have looked at Lazarus and said, what a pitiful person, but you know what? When he died, he went to be with God. That rich man was the one that was pitiful. You want to know the reality of it, he was the one that was in bad shape, not Lazarus. Lazarus had taken care of the most important thing. He was ready to face eternity. May God bless you. I want us to have a song. And if you're lost, I pray that the Lord will help you to find him. That you'll let God have his way with you, because, folks, we're facing an eternity. We are. All of us are. And yours may be coming tomorrow. It may be coming today. We don't know when. We don't know when we're going to leave time and enter eternity. But we know that we are. We know that we are. Are you ready? Are you ready for that time? Are you ready for that moment when all that's going to matter is where you stand with the Lord while we stand and sing? God help you if you're lost. 191.